You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, it is all going down. All hell is breaking loose. The banner headline on Fox News right now says anarchy as anti-Israel protesters storm buildings at Columbia and Trump trial resumes. It's all going down, man. Trump has been fined $9,000 and counting for violating the gag order. The judges ordered him to take down his Truth Social posts. Man, that's going to hurt. Every time he posts, it gets reposted a million times. And he's threatening jail for the former president and the leading candidate, who is the opponent of Judge Mershon's candidate. So it's getting a little tense in the courtroom in New York. But that is nothing compared to the campus of Columbia, a few miles north of the courtroom, where the pro-Hamas, where the cosplaying jihadis have taken over campus. They have stormed a building, if you haven't seen it yet, broken windows, kicked in doors. It looks a lot like January 6th. They have hammers, and they're smashing windows. They have taken... briefly, they took three janitors hostage. Someone has to explain to me why the police aren't going in there with riot gear and arresting these maggots. How is this allowed? How is this possible that you can just take over a building? By the way, the dean's office and the admissions office are in this building. It was called Hamilton Hall. It has been renamed. What is the name now? I'll get the name. It's been renamed after a Palestinian kid. They unfurled a banner, another banner, renaming the building, and they're not going anywhere. This is not stopping. It is not slowing down. And if you're expecting a strong statement against these rioters, against this violent mob from the White House, you're going to have to wait a little longer. This, to me, is the biggest story. This is happening from coast to coast. Jewish kids are being attacked. They're being blockaded from getting into their classrooms. And the president has nothing to say. This is a profile in cowardice. There was a lame written statement from the deputy press secretary today saying that storming buildings is wrong. In case you weren't sure, the White House wants you to know it's wrong for these punks, many of whom aren't students, many of whom are foreigners on foreign visas, student visas, and they are still in the building, still occupying this main building on Columbia's campus. A truly remarkable development here. The president, that lame president of Columbia, gave these punks a deadline yesterday, 2 p.m., to disperse. Guess what? They didn't listen. They didn't obey. They stayed there. In fact, they escalated, took it to a new level, and Columbia has done nothing. They have not called in the NYPD. Forget the National Guard. All you need is the go-ahead, the green light. Send in the cops. They know how to do this. There are 35,000 NYPD officers. It would only take a couple of dozen to drag these punks out, just like they did in Austin, just like they did in Atlanta. All you got to do is let the cops do their job. But they don't want to, because the people in charge, the president of Columbia, the faculty support them. The faculty, professors at Columbia set up a blockade. They locked arms First, they put on their vests. They have these bright orange vests. They're all messed up, and they're blocking anybody from entering the encampment, the professors. If you wondered what happened to these kids, these students, all you got to do is look at the people who are teaching them, the people who are leading them. Democrats, elected Democrats, and professors, faculty, are responsible for this. They're the ones who've empowered, enabled, emboldened these punks, and they show no signs of slowing down. In again, you could do it. You can't do it in Texas or Florida or Georgia, but man, you have nothing to worry about if you're in New York. They're on your side. The elected officials, the faculty, the president of the school, and yes, the president of the United States, they're on your side. That's the great divide. The pathetic, weak, feeble old man in the White House will do nothing to stop this. Hell, Karine Jean-Pierre can't even bring herself to condemn these punks. Do we have KJP from yesterday? This is a remarkable moment. As the violence is escalating, as this turmoil is roiling, she's asked the obvious question. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. They're stopping kids from getting a class. They're spitting on Jewish kids. Hell, they tasered a Jewish guy on the campus of UCLA yesterday. We'll get to that. And they ask this just embarrassment of a diversity hire, this pathetic, weak, dumb, unprepared woman. Does the White House condemn this? And she says, well, yeah, sort of, with no place for it. Go ahead, play this.
Earlier you talked about how you didn't want to comment on what school administrators might do, but the protesters themselves have now defied that 2 p.m. deadline. Should they leave?
The protesters themselves have?
Yes, there was a deadline for them to leave by 2 p.m. and they have not done so. What does the White House think?
You mean that Columbia has said there is a 2 p.m. deadline for them? Okay. I'm just not going to comment on leadership at colleges and universities, their decisions. That's for them to decide. We've been very clear. Americans have the right to peacefully protest, and we're going to continue to call out any type of hateful rhetoric, any type of potential hateful violence here. It has no place in America. Anti-Semitism, we're going to call out. It is abhorrent, and that is hate speech. We're just going to be consistent. When it comes to those types of decisions on campuses, that is something for college, universities, leadership to decide on.
Just such an embarrassment. It really is. To condemn these criminals, and he can't do it. Maybe he's still in bed. Maybe he's just having a bad day. Maybe it's one of those days where he's just so confused. He can't do his job. But how is the president not coming out and making a forceful statement? I was reading about Dwight Eisenhower when the governor of Arkansas blocked a group of black kids from going into high school. Eisenhower was like on vacation. He stopped everything. He dropped everything. He made a statement to the country, and he demanded, and he sent in the National Guard and made it possible for those kids to go to school. Can someone explain to me the difference? If you're blocking Jewish kids from getting to class, from getting to the library or the dining hall, what's the difference? I mean, how is that not a violation of their civil rights? How is that not a call for the federal government to step in and stop this before it gets worse? Because I got news for you. It's going to get worse. Someone's going to die. What is the next logical step if you're violently assaulting Jewish kids and tasing them, stopping them from getting to class? What's the next step? Alan Dershowitz was right. These aren't pro-Hamas. These are Hamas. We have Hamas in our midst, and they are going to take that next step. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone might even die. That's kind of what they're planning here. And our president's going to sit there because he's afraid to lose the vote of these of terrorist sympathizers in Dearborn. He's afraid what the squad might say, what AOC and Ayanna Pressley might say. Speaking of Ayanna, if you haven't seen the video yet from last night, as these criminals storm the building at Columbia, smashing windows, kicking in doors. There's a few ringleaders. Now, some of them are adults. They're professional agitators. They're far left extremists. And some of them are student leaders. One of them is a guy, as we've talked about many times, Kamani James, 20 years old. He's from Boston. He went to Boston Latin. He served on the Boston City Council. Get the video from last night first, because he has been banned from campus. According to the president of Columbia, he was told, you're not allowed on campus. Well, he didn't obey. He didn't listen. He was there last night, Kamani James, pride of Boston Latin. He was in the middle of it, and he was literally ordering people to break into the building, to break in to Hamilton Hall. Here he is. He's got his mask on. He's got gloves. He's got a winter coat. He's gone full Antifa, and he's encouraging people to break into the building. It's kind of like, I don't know, something that happened on the Capitol a couple of years ago, January 6th, when people ordered other people to go into the building, except for Ray Epps. They were arrested. They're now sitting in jail. They're doing years in prison for leading the insurrection. Well, here is Kamani James from Boston leading the insurrection last night. Play this.
5, 6, 7, 8. 5, 6, 7, 8. Israel is a terrorist.
Israel is a terrorist. We're trying to document them being assholes.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Occupation, no more.
Right. They are being assholes.
No more. 5, 6, 7, 8.
5, 6, 7, 8. That old lady rules.
Occupation, no.
She calls me asshole. She's, by the way, a professional agitator, too. But she's had enough of this punk. She really has. Everybody has. I'm sorry. If you're Columbia and he's been told you can't come on campus and he comes on campus and does that, where's the Columbia police? Where's the Columbia security escorting him off campus? I don't think this gets enough attention. I've mentioned this before, but he calls himself Ayanna Pressley's friend. He calls her his mentor. He aspires to be Ayanna Pressley. His goal is to end up in Congress. And I think that just might happen. Judging by the way Democrats vote these days, he could be the next member of the squad. But let's look back. This is only 4 years ago. He's a high school student serving as the student representative on the Boston City Council. Obviously, a collection of just nuts and wackos and race hustlers. And Kamani James joins them. Of course, the meeting is remote, and he chimes in. I'm not even sure the subject, but as usual, you know, the important news of the day is somebody's racist. You know, it's the Boston City Council, so obviously the big problem with this group, somebody said something racist. And this kid is only, I think he's 17, when he's sitting there in the meeting, and listen to him, listen to how messed up he is. Listen to what he brings, what he contributes to a Boston City Council meeting. Again, this is a guy leading the riots, leading the violent takeover of a building on campus where he's already been, from which he's already been banned. This is him a couple of years ago at a Boston City Council meeting. Go ahead.
Our next speaker is Kamani James.
Hello, everyone. It's Kamani James. I'm hearing a lot about bigotry and whatever the hell I just heard. My people for years have been feeling that, Black people, first and foremost. Anyways, my name's Kamani James, resident of Brighton. I'm here to discuss the recent resignations of Luna Rivera and Alexandra Oliver Davila. Let me start by saying that I cannot believe we even have to have this conversation in 2021. This is pathetic. And white people, both politicians and otherwise, should be disgusted with themselves. that they even called for these two Latina women to be reprimanded and their character smeared, all because they expressed their feelings towards the racism and hurtful remarks they receive from white people. Saying I hate white people is not racist, period. Is it prejudice? Yes. Racist? No. In order for white people to experience racism, they'd have to have socialized power structures against them, which they don't. White people are the creators of those socialized power structures, and they're specifically designed to oppress black people and keep them from making their way into positions of power, let alone create change. To scream reverse racism is ignorant as hell and only exemplifies how you lack the metacognitive skills and basic common sense to understand racism and power dynamics in American society. This is not an oppression Olympics. It is clear as day that white people are the problem in a lot of cases in society. It is not on black people to fix these issues, but on white people. Y'all are the ones who need to earn people's trust and do better. Y'all do everything you can to suppress black people and then look confused when you hear, I hate white people. To the school committee, stop saying that the white community is in pain. My community's been in pain for way longer. Point blank.
Oh, good.
How are you?
That is a high school student at a Boston school committee meeting lecturing white people and saying, hating white people is not racism. This kid went to Boston Latin and then got into Columbia. I'll remind you, 96% of the people who apply to Columbia don't get in. That their acceptance rate is 4%, and they accepted this lunatic, this racist little brat from Boston. He must have had great test scores because he is just deranged. He aspires to be a U.S. congressman, and normally I'd say that's nuts, but today he's no different than Ayanna, his hero, or Jamal Bowman, or Rashida Tlaib, or Ilhan Omar. That's the way they think. That's the way they talk. But he's busy right now. I don't know if he's in the building, if he's in the building they're occupying at Columbia, but they have demands. They're demanding the school. They have three big demands. Two of them are about, you know, divesting from Israel, just not, and they demand to see all the investments that Columbia has in Israel, and they stop. Their third demand is my favorite, demanding amnesty for all the protesters. So they have broken into a building. They held three janitors hostage briefly. And now that one of their demands is, we don't want any consequences. No criminal consequences, nothing from the school, nothing on our records. And you would, again, normally say, that's insane. But here's where we are. They're negotiating with terrorists. They're negotiating with the people who wouldn't take down their encampment by the deadline. They said, screw you. And now they have vandalized the building and they're occupying it and we'll be watching. You want to know the problem? I'll tell you the problem in a nutshell here. First of all, people like Kamani James get into the school. Secondly, there are 36,649 students in Columbia, big school. How many are foreigners? How many came here from somewhere else on a student visa? 13,838. Now, I don't have that broken down by country, but I'm going to guess many of the 13,838 came from hostile places, come from Muslim countries, and they come here hating Jews. And this is a chance to act out, to live out their fantasies, blame the Jews, blame America for everything. That's where we're at. 13,800 students on foreign visas. Why they aren't sent home immediately, like today, is beyond me. Why they aren't deported, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Why you would want to bring more of them? One of the congressmen from that area, Jamal Bowman, went on TV yesterday and said, we need to take in millions of Gazan refugees, millions of Palestinians, all of whom, just about all of whom, hate Jews and hate this country. He wants to take them all in and resettle them in the United States. Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they won't take them, but we're supposed to take them. That's who we have sitting in Congress. Again, these people at Columbia, occupying the building, these people at UCLA, stopping Jewish kids from getting a class, they have real strong representation in Washington, in Congress. People like Jamal Bowman and Ayanna Pressley, they're on their side. They don't like Jews either. They don't like this country either. And they support these people 100%. All right, here's the video of a guy trying to walk across campus at UCLA. He's Jewish. And they don't, not only do they assault him and try to stop him, they tase him. Play this. Now, that's going to be a gun real soon. That's not going to be a taser. It's going to be a gun.
Real
the person
soon.
Who took this video, by the way, said the cops stood and watched. The cops stood and watched as this Hamas hole tased some guy for being Jewish. Now, this infuriates me every time I see it. We got the other guy from UCLA. He's a Jewish guy, Jewish kid. He's got a Star of David around his neck, and he's trying to get to class and they won't let him. He videotapes the whole thing and he posts it and he's kind of gone viral. He's been on cable news. He's a theater major. So he's doing this for performance and that's okay. But they literally won't let him walk to class. Someone has to explain this to me. Somebody has to explain why a Jewish kid attending UCLA, I think he's a sophomore or freshman. So he's 18, 19 years old, a Jewish kid in Los Angeles. What the hell does he have to do with the war? 7,500 miles away. So you don't like Israel. You support Hamas. I get it. You want Hamas to win the war. Why is it his fault if Israel is killing your people, killing Hamas terrorists? Why is a kid in LA, a teenager, a college student, responsible for a war thousands of miles away? What in your twisted mind leads you to believe pushing him around, literally assaulting him, stopping him from going to class, has some effect on the IDF as they move in Rafah? It's just so illogical and insane and wrong. And I don't understand why everybody isn't speaking out in defense of this kid. Let's watch him try to get to class. Go ahead.
This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Why can't I go? Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging in that.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging in that.
Okay, we're going. We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them. That's what they do. That's what they do, everybody. You guys are promoting aggression. You guys are promoting hate. We're UCLA students. We deserve to be there. Let's go.
See, I don't have it in me not to punch them in the face.
I know. He's fit, too. He looks like he can handle any of them one-on-one. But, you know, in his defense, there's about 10 of them. So it's not a fair fight. And he made his point. I saw him interviewed. He said he doesn't believe in violence. Again, he's a theater major in Los Angeles. So I don't think he's, you know, a hard right, you know, guy who's going to drop the gloves and fight. It might come to that. Maybe he didn't want to get tased. That could be it. Maybe that's the problem. I got another question. When is Amazon going to run out of keffiyehs, those Hamas scarves? Everyone's got them now. At some point, Amazon has to be running low for selling, you know, scarves to these LARPers, these cosplaying punks.
Got to be running low on these tents, too. Do you notice this?
That's true. The tents, the matching tents. You know, obviously, it's their outside forces funding this because all the tents match and they get plenty of food and they, you know, they have adults like grown-ups who aren't students in their midst. Everybody knows it. But so what? Why can't New York do what Texas and Atlanta have done and Florida have done? Why can't they just break it up? They're breaking the rules. I love people saying it's a matter of free speech and you're allowed to be anti-Semitic, which is true. But schools have rules. They have rules. They have, hell, they have hate speech codes, as we learned when the presidents all were sitting in front of Congress. Schools have rules. They give a deadline. Move, get off, get out, take down your tents, or we'll take them down for you. The deadline passes and they do nothing because the administration, the presidents, the faculty, the professors support them. And they're just going to keep going and it's just going to get crazier. And it's just going to keep hurting their guy, Donald, their guy, Joe Biden. Before we get to, we got to move on. We got to get to Drew Barrymore, the most amazing, unbelievable, incredible video I've ever seen. But can you throw up that poll? This whole approach of coddling these punks, and by the way, forgiving their student debt, making the janitors who were taken hostage last night at Columbia, making them pay the debts for the punks who are wasting their parents' money, some of their parents' money, to go to Columbia. Here's a poll from CNN, another poll. Voters age 18 to 35, April 2020. So that's 4 years ago. Biden plus 31. Biden was up 31 points among young voters, 62 to 31, April 2024. Trump 51, Biden 40. That is a 42-point swing among young voters. And Joe Biden thinks the way to flip this is to coddle these vandals, these wannabe terrorists, and to forgive student loans for deadbeats with graduate degrees. I got news for you, Joe. It ain't working. It just isn't working because, oh, I got to do one more poll before we move on. This is amazing. You would think if you're following the story and watching cable news and you're online that the country is evenly split. Israel versus Hamas. That's maybe not even, but you would think there'd be a real divide there. There isn't. These people on campus with their keffiyehs, and their intifada chants and river to the sea, and these people harassing Jewish kids, they're a small minority. This is in the New York Post this morning. Americans favor Israel in its war against Hamas by a margin of 4-1. Nearly three quarters support a military operation in Rafah, which is going to happen very soon. Joe Biden's going to denounce it. He's going to disown Netanyahu and take the side of the terrorists. But the country, the United States of America, is with Israel as usual. 80% back the Jewish state in its 7-month war against the Islamic terrorist group. 72% of voters say they back the IDF in its military operation in Gaza and want them to finish the job. 28% say Israel should back off and allow Hamas to continue running Gaza. So the country's not with you, Joe. The country's not with you, Ayanna and AOC and Kamani James. You can keep on hating the Jews, keep on denigrating this country, but the people, the voters, they're not with you. That's the good news. But all right, we got to move. We got to get to the latest on the Trump trial. The most amazing and nauseating interview you have ever seen. You think Howard Stern was embarrassing? Howard Stern, take a seat. We have a new king of all sycophants. We'll get to that. And Kristi Noem. We haven't talked about Kristi Noem yet. Who is done? Who just took a gun, put it to the head of a dog, and killed her future in Republican politics. Get to that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Have you heard about Senolytics yet? It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals in your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Senolytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and discomfort, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle-age feeling. We all know that feeling. They block nutrients from our healthy cells, but Qualia Senolytic prunes senescent cells away from your healthy cells. Take it just 2 days a month. The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and has a money-back guarantee. Qualia Senolytic has helped me be more productive and enthusiastic with fewer aches and pains day to day. To try Qualia Senolytic, go to neurohacker.com/newsmax for up to $100 off and use code word newsmax at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/newsmax and use promo code newsmax. Before we get to that video, that interview of Kamala and to Kristi Noem, Donald Trump has been fined $9,000 for violating the gag order from Biden toady Judge Juan Merchan. But here's the interesting thing. Merchan put out a statement explaining that he has to take down the posts, the two social posts. Boy, that's going to show him. And pay this fine, and we'll continue to fine him if he continues to violate the gag order. So moving forward, Michael Cohen could say whatever he wants. He could go on podcasts. He can go on CNN. He could say anything about Trump. Trump can't respond. Trump can't defend himself. That's where we are. A former president is on trial in a completely made up joke of a case. As everybody knows, there's no crime here. There's nothing. And Trump can't defend himself. That is so insane. He did say that he might let him go to his son's graduation. So that's the good news. But in the statement, it says, quote, jail may be necessary. Now you tell me, is Trump going to just shut up?
No.
In the middle of a campaign, is Trump going to shut up? Well, these wannabe terrorists are just run amok in this country. Is he going to shut up as the, as the border is still wide open, as inflation? And he's not. He's running for president. So this judge is going to try to put him in jail. It is going to happen. That is the next logical step. I can't see Trump shutting up. And obviously, Merchan's whole job here is to stop Trump by any means necessary. His job is to serve Joe Biden. So this is going to get uglier and uglier. Even though the case is a joke, as we've seen in the first few days of testimony, the goal is not, to win a legitimate conviction. The goal is to stop Trump and help Biden. So I can't see him not following through on his threat to put Trump in jail. And that'll just be so wild. Maybe it'll be for one night. Maybe it'll be an ankle bracelet. Every time they do this, his numbers go up. We gave you the numbers yesterday. He's winning with RFK Jr. in the mix. He's up 9 points. He's up in every battleground state, and the lead is getting bigger. It's not working. Sorry, Joe Biden. It just ain't working. All right, let's get to this interview, which is just so amazing. I don't think I've ever watched Drew Barrymore's show. I don't know when it is or where it is. Does she do this with every guest? She has Kamala Harris on, and there's a couch, like an interview couch. And she slides over and sits almost in Kamala's lap. She did this with Dylan Mulvaney. I remember that clip. That's right. She kneeled down in front of Dylan Mulvaney. I mean, she was careful not to rub his package, but she was close. It was a little uncomfortable. She does the same with Kamala. She slides over and nuzzles up, puts her feet up on the couch, and looks in her eyes just longingly. and talks to this absolute nitwit. As everybody knows, Kamala Harris is just a empty skull, and talks about Kamala's laugh. But watch and listen to the way this woman just fawns and what she wants Kamala to do going forward. It is remarkable. Again, Stern was an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. Stern was just, I guess the transformation of Stern makes it worse, because he used to be so great. He used to be, you know, a badass who held people in power to account. That was just to make people uncomfortable. Instead, and I watched some of the clips again yesterday, Stern has a script. He literally was told what to ask Joe Biden. And Biden was lost as usual and totally confused and just mumbling. He was leading him through the questions like, you were a lifeguard, remember? You used to wear a bathing suit and have a whistle and you'd have to jump in the pool, remember? And Biden would go, yeah, I did. I saved a half a dozen kids. And then he asked him about his high school football prowess. He says, were you like the leading scorer in the state as a receiver? And Biden says, yeah, I was second leading scorer. A total lie. But Biden didn't bring that up. Howard did. Howard was told what to ask Joe Biden, and he dutifully obeyed. That is so humiliating. This is bad, but I don't even know what Drew Barrymore, you know, her history and politics or whatever. But this, I guess the best you could say is, you know, she was as bad as Stern. Stern was just, it was the lowest of low for Howard Stern, but this is just, this is so bad. Go ahead, play it.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Oh my God. Oh.
Even Kamala Harris wanted to laugh in her face.
Kamala Harris looks at her like, did you just say that?
Yeah.
We need you to. So Howard Stern called Joe Biden the father of the country. Drew Barrymore just called Kamala Harris Mamala and said, we need a hug. And then Kamala talked about how people make fun of her laugh. Drew Barrymore said, I love your laugh. So to review, Howard Stern told Ellen DeGeneres he loves the way she dances. Drew Barrymore tells Kamala, I love your laugh.
No one does. Now, it's the worst sounding thing on earth.
That is the most uncomfortable. And does she get any like pushback? Does anyone tell Drew, you gotta rein it in a little, sister? That is just uncomfortable. She's not talking to just anybody. She's talking to a completely incompetent disaster of a vice president, someone no one wants to see as president. They don't even want to see her in vice president. I mean, people know she was hired for two reasons. She's black, a person of color, and she's a woman. That's it. She's just an absolute disaster. And this person is telling her, we need a hug. Can you give us a hug? Yeah, that's exactly what the Jewish kids on campuses right now need, a hug from Kamala Harris. That one, you got to save that one, Ironhead. That is a keeper. That is just amazing. They hold hands. If you're just listening, she looks in her eyes, tells her, and then she holds her hands. She looks like she's about to kiss her.
I think she wants to.
Oh, God. That is just, Drew Barrymore is what, an actress, a child star, a once respected, you know, Hollywood star.
Well, if you did, this is what. If you date Tom Green, you could probably date anybody. So maybe she is into it.
Yeah. Well, Tom Green, I think that marriage lasted about a month, and then he was done with her, and he didn't see her again for like 20 years. And I could see why. I could see why, Tom. Stay as far away from that as you possibly can. All right, we got to get to Christy Noem, the person who was on the VP shortlist and is no longer. It is not a story about someone killing a dog. It's a story about someone killing their career and doing it with pride. We'll get to that, but first,
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. Wow, this story out of Charlotte is wild. These marshals, these U.S. marshals were shot and killed. Four officers killed. They were serving a warrant on some felon for a gun charge. And the guy, and apparently one or two others, opened fire. I've yet to see the mugshot. We're waiting to see the mugshot of the ones, or that would see the story, the picture of the guy who did the shooting. Right now, we're just, how do you kill four officers? I mean, these guys are trained. These guys are armed. These guys are ready. He must have had some serious weaponry there. And waiting for more details, but it's so disturbing. This is what the war on cops is rot. This is the result of the BLM-led war on cops. Cops are the bad guys. Cops are racist. Cops are out to kill, you know, innocent black people. So you must fire first. And this is what we got right now in Charlotte. Four dead cops.
Yeah, it says eight officers were shot today while trying to serve a warrant.
Eight. Shot eight officers, killing four. And we're waiting for more details, but I'm just going to take a wild stab, and maybe I'll be wrong, that it was not a white supremacist who did this. Maybe, but we will wait for more details. We will not jump to conclusions. I will jump to this conclusion. Kristi Noem is done. There's one thing that unites Democrats and Republicans, you know, far right conservatives and far left. It's hurting a dog. Now, if you're a Democrat, you can hurt, you know, unborn children all you want. That's a good thing. If you do that, they will praise you. But if you hurt a dog, a 14-month-old dog, you're in trouble. It's not that she shot her dog, Cricket. She shot her dog because he was, quote, I mean, she was. She's a girl. Untrainable, dangerous, and less than worthless as a hunting dog. This is her dog, Cricket, and she wasn't good at hunting. She was young. They were trying to train her, and apparently she was difficult. Then Cricket killed one of Kristi Noem's neighbor's chickens, and I'm not even sure if that's true, but she wants you to think she had to make a tough decision to put the dog down. So she shot the dog in a gravel pit, and that was it for Cricket. This was 20 years ago. Now, nobody would have known about it. It wasn't like some, you know, sleuth, some reporter, some neighbor ratted her out. She bragged about it in her book, her second memoir, by the way. This is a governor of South Dakota. She already got two memoirs, and this one's called No Going Back. And she just got savaged from both sides of the aisle. And I'm with everybody else. This woman's a psychopath. I tweeted my story. We had a bad dog when I was a young kid. Caesar, his name was Caesar, and he just was that awful. He chewed up furniture and clothes, and he pissed all over the rug. He nipped people, and he was just bad. And we had to get rid of him. So my father put an ad in the local paper, the weekly paper, you know, free dog, and he was gone the next day. Somebody gave him a home, and I saw the woman come get him. Someone was theorizing that my father, you know, took him out back and bashed him in the head and buried him and said he gave him away, but he gave him away. That's what you do. If you can't handle a dog, if he's bad with kids, you know, if you can't handle him and you move to a smaller apartment, you give him away. This was a purebred, some kind of pointer hunting dog. I saw a picture, good looking dog, handsome dog. Someone would have taken him. Someone would have taken him for free. Governor, you could have given Cricket away. Instead, you choose to kill her. And then she writes, because there was such blowback when this story broke, she writes, I can understand why some people are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket, one of the working dogs on our ranch that I write about in my book. The book is filled with many honest stories of my life, good and bad days, challenges, painful decisions, and lessons learned. And she writes about tough decisions through COVID, and she makes all these tough decisions. She's trying to portray herself as this real, hard, tough woman, you know, this rancher in South Dakota who's in a man's world. She can make the tough decisions. It didn't work. She got ratioed like nobody I've ever seen. There was this tweet. Let me see. It has 31,000 replies, 20,000 likes, 31,000 replies, almost all of them negative, almost all of them condemning this woman for killing the dog. She writes, the fact is South Dakota law states that dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. Given that Cricket had shown aggressive behavior toward people, I decided what I did. Whether running a ranch or in politics, I've never passed on my responsibilities to anyone else to handle. Even if it's hard and painful, I followed the law and was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor. As I explain in the book, it wasn't easy, but often the easy way isn't the right way. She's not done because she killed a dog. That's bad. That's despicable. She didn't have to do that. She's bad. She's done because she thought people were going to support her. She thought people were going to understand and be impressed with her decision to take a gun and shoot a 14-month-old dog that was less than worthless as a hunting dog, that was dangerous. First of all, I don't believe that Cricket was that dangerous. I think she's exaggerating. Secondly, there are other ways to go. Get it trained. It was only 14 months old. Get it trained or give it away. Are you telling me the governor of a state, maybe she wasn't governor yet, but a prominent rancher couldn't have just said, does anyone want Cricket? And someone wouldn't have taken her? Of course they would have. She then says it wasn't the only tough decision because she had to shoot a goat because it smelled. And it, you know, of course, it was attacking her children. A goat? I mean, goats, keep your kids away from the goat. Leave it in a pen. She killed the goat because it smelled, she said. And she thinks this is going to portray her some kind of, you know, Yellowstone character out there in the rough country who had to make a tough decision. I'm glad this came out, though. I'm glad she has revealed herself so we can cross her off the short list. It would have been a terrible choice anyway. There's a woman who supported boys playing girls sports until the pressure got too big. She's a woman who's cheated on her husband, had an affair with Corey Lewandowski, Lowell's own. I don't think she would have been. I mean, once the media started digging, she would have turned out to be just a terrible, terrible choice. So she's out the short list to me. And I get a little nervous about this. There are people out there really pushing for Ben Carson, who is 72 years old and really, really laid back. He's an amazing man, a neurosurgeon, a pediatric neurosurgeon, just an incredible man, but would be a terrible choice for Donald Trump. And others are pushing this Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota. So that'll lock up North Dakota, Donald. No, no, no. There's some great choices. J.D. Vance, Byron Donalds, and of course, Ron DeSantis. Those are my top three. You need a fighter. You need someone younger. Don't pick another old man like Ben Carson or Doug Burgum or, you know, and certainly don't pick Mike Pompeo. There's your choices, Donald. And you know what? He should do it soon because he's a little tied up. He needs someone to go out there and hit the trail for him. And he had a meeting with DeSantis over the weekend, private meeting. They made up. They're going to work together. Why not? He changes. Donald Trump just changes his address to New York, where he spends all his time anyway. And DeSantis becomes his choice, or Donald's, Byron Donald's, another great choice, or the great J.D. Vance. He'd be out there on the trail tomorrow fighting. He'd be battling with the media. That would be a good choice. So I like it. Now, Christy Noem, out.
What if Cricket was a pit bull? How would you feel then?
That'd be tough. Well, then he wouldn't have killed chickens. He would have killed children. So you would have had to put him down. But you know what? I'm against executing dogs. That's just me.
Nice. Progress for the Pitbull community right now.
She had a choice. And you know what? The choice people make with pit bulls is they just give them up. They just dump them. I told you I went to the MSPCA, one of the big ones, big humane society place. And there were 40 dogs one day, 38 pit bulls. Mm-hmm. So the young, tough guys like you, you know, trying to prove their manhood, they get pit bulls as an accessory. Mm-hmm. And then they realize, you know, they have to feed them and walk them and care for them and keep them from killing the neighbors, and they just give them up. Maybe they shoot them sometimes, probably do, but
Mike Vick,
you don't kill a dog because it killed a chicken. You know, chickens are chickens. They're just birds. They're food. They make it. They lay eggs. They're not mammals. That's not a reason to put a dog down. It's a reason to train them better. Maybe keep control of them. Maybe keep them away from the neighbor's chickens. Mm-hmm. Could you have done that, Christy, or would that have been too difficult? I don't know. She's getting roasted. Maybe it's good for her. She'll sell some books because God knows no one's going to read this. No one would have read it otherwise. No one would even know she had a book. Mm-hmm. But she's going to have to go on the publicity tour and defend this and everywhere and anywhere because everybody was disgusted by this. Everybody thinks this is ridiculous. I think I got one tweet. I got a million saying this is wrong and, you know, she's done. But one tweet saying that's life on a farm or life on the ranch. You don't understand. So you have to live on a ranch to know that shooting dogs who misbehave is good and righteous. I'm sorry, not buying it. She had other options.
She could have at least added to the story that the dog had rabies or something. Done something.
She could have just not told the story. Imagine typing that up.
Yeah.
Sending it to your editor and everything, your ghostwriter, and thinking, people are going to love this. People are going to be impressed by this. I had to make a tough decision.
Yeah. You hit send and you're just like, I'm going to be vice president.
That person is not fit to be vice president. Mm-hmm. Not because, again, she shot a dog, but because she thought we'd all be impressed by it. That is an amazing lack of judgment right there. And the fact that, you know, she's had affairs, that's not, that wouldn't play well because whoever gets picked is just going to get savaged by the media. They know that they're, you know, that the person Trump picks is going to be out there on the campaign trail making the case for Trump and is going to debate that moron we just heard from. And it's not going to go like the Drew Barrymore show.
No.
It's going to be live. It's going to be unscripted. And any of the above, J.D. Vance, DeSantis, Byron Donalds,
Tucker.
Any of them.
We need Tucker.
Tucker, that would be my first choice just for the entertainment value. But I don't think Tucker's on the short list anymore. And plenty of good choices. So make the choice, Donald. Do it today. And we'll all, you know, the focus will be off you and your ridiculous trial. Maybe he'll do it from jail. How about that? Mershon puts him in jail. And from jail, he tweets or truths that I'm choosing J.D. Vance. That would be so wild. Everything is just going to go.
He does a debate through a prison phone.
Everything is just going to explode in the coming days. And I am here for it. I'm looking forward to it. Today is just a crazy day in these United States. And the judge is threatening. He says, He will impose incarceration if Trump continues. Impose incarceration. Trump's going to continue. Mershon's going to have the opportunity. He will have a choice. Just keep finding him or put him in jail. You tell me. This guy hates Trump. This guy is determined to get Biden reelected. What's he going to do? He's going to impose incarceration of a former president and the likely next president. It is going to get crazy. And you know what? Democrats, Biden, they keep saying Trump is promising a vengeance and retribution. And they think that's a negative. People who support Trump, they want retribution. Yep. They want him to do what Joe Biden's doing, to use his power to exact vengeance. That's okay with me. I mean, they deserve it. They've shown that every day for the last 3 years, that they're using every lever of power to go after the political enemies. And Trump is supposed to just drop it all the day he returns to office? I don't think so, but we'll see. It's going to get crazier, but that'll do it for today. Tuesday, last day of April. Man, November is right around the corner, and the next 6 months are just going to be madness. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.